Well, good evening. It is good to see you and our online broadcast for our gospel service. Again, we trust that the Lord will put his hand upon you as you listen to the message of the gospel. We'll bow in prayer and we'll ask the Lord now to bless our gathering around his precious word. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee for thy mercy that finds us here this evening again on this online broadcast. We thank thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee it is good news to them that are lost, without any hope in this world. But there is a Saviour who died. There is one who has given life to his people. And I pray tonight, O Father, if there are any in the service and they're not saved, that thou would save them. As they listen in their homes, may they know the Lord of glory. May they know him by faith, and may they know all of their sins washed away in his precious blood. I pray you'll bless the word even to thy people. I thank thee, O God, that the gospel is good news to us as well, that as we hear of these wonderful realities, as we hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, we hear of one that has died for us, that loves us, that is interceding for us, and will come and transform us into his very image, even as we did consider that great thought in our service this morning. I pray, O Father, now you will bless this online broadcast, that you will bless every brother who has a similar service in our land and in our nation. O Lord, that there would be a great transformation happen, that men and women would not seek the wisdom of man, but that they would seek the wisdom of God. And that they would know his eternal salvation. That they would know his son. That he would be seen as the great king and as the great Lord. So Father, we trust thee now. We look to thee. We pray for help. We pray for thy spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you'll turn with me this evening to the book of Exodus and the chapter 4 for our scripture reading. Exodus chapter 4. And we want to begin our reading at the verse number 21. So Exodus chapter 4, verse 21, and of course we will read into chapter 5 of this passage in the Word of God. So Exodus chapter 4, and the verse 21, and there the Word of God says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, but he shall not let the people go. And I shall say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin off her son and cast it at his feet and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went. And met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses said Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Amen. We know and we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own word for Jesus' sake. We'll seek the Lord again now before we come to the preaching of the word. We'll ask that he will bless us and that his word will have an impact on our heart. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we pray now that as we come to the gospel message that thou have put thy blessing upon it, Lord, we trust that we will know more of thee and more of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that, O God, our hearts would be joyful within us as we consider his love for us, as we consider the salvation that he has purchased. And Lord, I pray that thou give us then an attentive ear, that thou give us a great expectation that people would be saved even through this message that is preached. I pray, O Father, that thou glorify thyself, show forth the grace and mercy of thy Son. For his name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Well, so often in life there are very different responses by different people when it comes to danger. You see, there are those that see danger at every turn, and as they see danger at every turn, then it seems to be that they are prepared for everything. They're always prepared for the worst case scenario. One group of people, and of course we say these people aren't biblical in their outlook, but one group of people we find is those who anticipate a potential apocalypse. A response to a potential apocalypse, as they will see life going on after this, is to buy a doomsday bunker, and therefore they buy this bunker and they fill it with food and they fill it with all the necessities that they will need in order to survive this great event. And therefore there are those who have seen a market for this. They've looked upon this, they've seen that people will invest in these things, and therefore they have gone and they have offered not only a doomsday bunker, but a luxury doomsday bunker. Therefore they offer one with a swimming pool, you can have a cinema room, you can have a snooker table in it, you can have all of these wonderful features in your doomsday bunker, and therefore you're going to see in the apocalypse a five-star luxury. And this is how some will respond to danger. This year, of course, and last year we knew all about the danger that was put before us with regard to the coronavirus pandemic. The news would have come on and made their broadcasts and spoken about the danger that everybody was in. And as soon as people heard danger, danger, what did they do? They went to the shops. They prepared for a time in their homes and they bought food and hand sanitizers and an awful large quantity of toilet roll. They were preparing then to be at home. They were scared to go out of their house. They heard the word danger. And therefore, they thought it was right to prepare. And isn't it a sad reality that when people see danger in every instance of life, they prepare, and yet when it comes to the gospel, as soon as danger is spelled out, danger, danger, there's a danger of losing your soul. There's a danger of the wrath of God. As soon as these things are sounded out and people are told, what do? They don't prepare. Rather, they fail to prepare at all. They don't take heed to the gospel. They don't take heed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They refuse to turn from their sin and flee from the wrath of God. They put their soul in the greatest danger of all, of being lost forever. They will not take heed. They will not see the danger. And this can have, of course, tragic consequences. You know, it is so important that we take heed to danger. I'll tell you a story about my hometown in Portavogie. One of the trades that you will do down there is whelt picking, and whelts are like wee snails that you get, and you can get food out of them, and there is a market for these. And as you go down to the beach, then you go into the rocks and you begin to pick these whelts, and as you pick them you get them by the stone and you can sell them then at the market. And one thing that you have to be very aware of when it comes to whelt picking is the tide. If the tide is in, you can't do it because it's too far in to go into the rocks and all the places that you need to go. And as the tide goes out then, you meet the tide when it's far out and you follow it back in order to do your job. And this then can mean that you can go out at night time, you can go out very, very early in the morning. And you know, there is a story about someone who went out to do that job. They got about their business. They followed the tide out and they had picked their welts and they were so busy doing their job and they were so invested in making their money and gathering up as much as they could to provide. They went to turn round and all of a sudden it was all water. It was all water. They were surrounded by the tide. There's no way out and the consequences were tragic. They failed to take heed to the greatest danger of all. Friend, if you fail to take heed to the danger that you're in at this moment in time, well then you will fail to go into eternity, to the glorious reality of heaven, because you'll be lost forever. And what a dangerous situation it is then, not only to lose your soul, but what a dangerous situation it is to be in a gospel meeting and to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to this part of the Word of God in the book of Exodus, we see another dangerous situation with regard to a man by the name of Pharaoh. And we read of that situation in verse 21 of our text. It says there, "And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go." You see what the Lord is saying here? He's saying that Pharaoh would not let the people go as a consequence of a hardened heart. Here is the danger that Pharaoh is in. The danger of having a hardened heart. What a situation this is to be in. That's a situation you could be in as you listen to the gospel tonight. The danger of having a hardened heart. And that's what I want to speak about this evening in our gospel service. It is that truth. The danger of a hardened heart. The danger of a hardened heart. The reason this is a danger, well, first of all, is because of the revelation given. Because of the revelation given. When we look at this biography of Pharaoh, we see that this man was certainly blessed in his life with a revelation of God. Pharaoh received something, and we're going to term it as a special revelation of the Lord himself. And we see that in Exodus 5. And the verse number 1, and it says there, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in, and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." So we see then this man receives a message from the Lord through his prophet. And it is a message then that distinguishes the Lord as the Lord God of Israel. He's setting himself apart here. He's showing himself to be particular as the Lord God of Israel, and he is showing himself then to Pharaoh as being the great supreme one, the Lord God of Israel, the one true God, the ultimate one. And in verse 2, Pharaoh makes a striking admission as he is faced with this reality of God. He says, "And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And here is the root of the problem when it comes to Pharaoh. He did not know the Lord. He did not know him. The revelation that he received here was special because it was a revelation that he never knew before. The Lord God of Israel, he had this revelation from God. And friend, he not only had this special revelation, but up until this point in his life, he had a revelation of God all around him. Had a revelation of God through the creation. Had a revelation of God through everything that happened, the seasons, the providences of God, all of these things. Pharaoh had a revelation of God already. This revelation that he had, what did he do with it? He revealed his wickedness. He revealed his heart to do evil because he took the revelation of God and he created an altar with it and he served gods and idols. He used it for vanity and wickedness. He did not know the Lord in that special way. And what he did know then of the Lord, he used for evil and wickedness. And we see this in the Bible because there were many deities in the land of Egypt at that time. Ezekiel 20 verse 6 and 7 says, "In that day I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth off the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands. Then said I unto them, Cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." You see, the Lord is speaking here of a time where he spoke to the children of Israel to cast away the idols or the gods of Egypt. And so we see then that Pharaoh espoused, he promoted idolatry in his nation. He did these things with the revelation of God because of his absolute wickedness. Why did he do this? Well, I said already, it's because of their wickedness, but it is because of his inability to know God. Because he did not know God, he replaced God with an idol, with something to adore, to worship. You see, men and women do this in their lives naturally, because being created in the image of God, we all have a constitution that desires to worship, that desires to adore an object. And certainly Pharaoh then shows forth the great fact that he's created in the image of God, because he set up an idol, an altar to worship, and yet instead of worshipping the true God, whom he did not know, he worshipped these idols, he's worshipped all these things, he showed forth the evil and corruption of his heart. This is what happens in your life, friend, when you do not know God. When you do not know God through Jesus Christ, what do you do then? You have this desire to adore, to worship, to find purpose in life. And what do? You set up an altar, as it were, and you adore something that is not God, and you make yourself a wicked idolater. And that's what you've done in your life. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what that entails for you. Something you adore. Maybe you adore your lifestyle. Maybe you adore another person. Maybe you have in your life a priority set up. You want to go up the ladder of this world. You want to reach your goals. You want to get your accomplishments made early in life. You have set yourself up for all of these things. And you've forgotten about the Lord because your heart is set in such a thing as this. And you'll tell yourself, when I get to a perfect place in my life, then I'll be happy. Let me tell you, friends, you'll never be happy. Once you get to that place in your life, you'll not find contentment. You'll not find peace in your heart. Because you do not know the Lord. And then when you get to that place where you want to be, when you continue on in the lifestyle that you're living, you love and you adore, what will happen then? You'll begin to want more. I've got to that place, but then you'll maybe set yourself a higher goal. You'll maybe try to get yourself to a better place. Maybe you're a young person and you're pushing the boundaries all the time and you're adoring that sinful lifestyle that you're in. And you say to yourself, well, I'm happy in all of this, and yet the reality is you keep going back and back and back for satisfaction because it does not eternally satisfy. Because you do not know the Lord. I ask you, will you know him tonight by faith? Will you know him through the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he has made a wonderful revelation. If the Lord had left people with this form of revelation, they would have lived their lives in idolatry. But what does he do? He reveals himself. He reveals himself to Pharaoh as the Lord God of Israel. Why is that significant? Well, Exodus 6:6 tells us, it says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." You see, the Lord reveals himself in a special way as the Lord who is the Redeemer of his people. Not as the revelation you are given tonight, friend. The great Redeemer God. The one who has paid the price of your sin. Who has blotted out the wickedness of those whom he died for. I ask you then, as these things come to your heart, what will you do with this great revelation? Because Pharaoh, faced with the revelation of God, The Lord's well was, let the people go. What does Pharaoh do? He says, I will not let the people go. And therefore his heart was hardened. And here is the truth then, as you sit in the gospel, or as you tune into an online gospel broadcast this evening, the truth is, as you reject the gospel, what is the natural consequence? It is a hardened heart. It is a hardened heart. It is a heart that grows more stubborn towards the gospel. It is a heart that hears about the Redeemer God, the one who has revealed his Son in order that men and women would no longer go the path of idolatry, yet would know him, or but would know him. And yet, in the face of such knowledge, you would reject the Lord. Maybe you've done it many times before. You said no to Christ. You said no to the glories and the spiritual blessings of the gospel. You continue on in your sin. Friend, I tell you then, if you will do this, you risk your heart becoming harder and harder and more stubborn against the gospel. A stubbornness that can cost you your soul. The danger of a hardened heart because of the revelation given. And friend, that there revelation that you have, if you reject it, it leads to a greater condemnation for you. It leads to a greater condemnation of your soul to know the gospel and to say no to Jesus Christ. It's a danger because of the revelation given. The second thing we'll see in this text is, it is a danger because of the heart's role in salvation. The Bible speaks often about the heart of a person. And we know that this is not thinking or speaking of the physical organ. When it speaks of the heart, it's speaking about the spiritual part of a person. And it's speaking then about their intellect, their affections, and their will. You have an intellect, you have affections, and you have a will. And in our society, of course, this is clearly recognized. You think of someone who is described as having a heart of gold. And we think of someone then that is very kind and generous. You also consider one that is described as having a valiant heart. And this means that they are brave or that they are courageous. I seen an internet article and it speaks about those good heart qualities that people may have. They are that unselfishness prevails within them. They get angry for the right reasons. They see good in the world, and therefore the world presents the qualities of the heart of men and women as something that can be good. And yet the Bible gives us a different picture. The Bible gives us a different heart quality of men and women. Think of what Jeremiah 17:9 says. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And notice here that phrase, desperately wicked. It has the thought of being incurably sick. And notice then that this thought is that the heart is incurably sick, and that it's then connected with that word deceitful. So it's saying then that the heart is incurably deceitful. And this is a true diagnosis of heart. A heart that's incurably deceitful. A heart that deceives men and women. A heart that can't be cured by the efforts of man. And I say to you, that is what is happening in your heart. Your heart has given you deceit, and that it has told you a lie. Or maybe you've been under the sound of the gospel before, and you've convinced yourself, I don't need to be saved. I don't need the gospel. I don't need to be transformed. I love my lifestyle. I'm happy with it, and your heart is deceiving you into these things. And you go out into this world, and you say to me, well, you told me that I'm not content without God, and yet you'll say, I am content without God. Now, this is a false notion, because your heart is incurably deceitful. You believe a lie. And you believe those things that will damn your soul. And rather than embrace the gospel with your heart, rather than put your affection in God and in Christ, you put it in this world, and you will not change, and you will not resolve to come to Christ tonight, because your heart continues to deceive you and tells you that all is okay, that you're happy,
that you have a future. It tells you all of these things. You're deceiving yourself because the Bible tells you it's incurably deceitful and it will deceive you right into hell. That is the truth. That is the reality. And I ask you tonight then, will you let that sink into your soul? And will you come and say, well then, what will I do with such a heart? You take it to the Lord, to the one that can change your heart. The one that can transform you. Oh, the one that can give you a heart that loves Him. A heart that no longer wants the world. No longer wants them, but loves the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that clearly in the Bible. Ezekiel 36 verse 26 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And here we have a picture of a heart that is stony, and you think of a stone is lifeless, it's dead. Now there's nothing in it that can have affection or love or all of these things, and yet the Bible says, a stony heart can be replaced with one of flesh. You think of a heart of flesh, one that's beating, one that's alive. The Lord's saying then, I will take that dead heart out of you. Oh, and I will give you a new heart. One that is living. One that is alive. What's the Lord saying? He's saying, I can bring you from death to life. You know, that was why it's so important to emphasize. Because when it comes to the heart plays that key role in the gospel, and it is with the heart someone believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then can you see the danger of a hardened heart? Rather than a heart that embraces Christ, it is a heart that gets farther away from Him in rebellion. See this with Pharaoh, it says in Exodus 9:12, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord has spoken unto Moses. You see what is happening here. As the Lord is speaking or directing Pharaoh by his will, Pharaoh is not hearkening unto him. He's not taking heed to the message because his heart is hardened. And the thought of this word hardened here is to make strong and resolution. So Pharaoh was being made more strong in his resolution to rebel against God. That which was already in his heart was being made stronger. And what a thing it is then for someone to reject the gospel and be made stronger in their resolution to go away from God. Friend, there's no way back from that other than the Lord's grace. You've been far away from God so far in your life. You've turned against Him. You have rejected the gospel time and time again. Walked away. And maybe the Lord has made you more resolute in such a thing. And if you reject the gospel tonight, here is the scary thing, friend. Understand this. The Lord can harden your heart. He can make you strong in your resolve to go away from Him. Or you will go to a place where you will never embrace the gospel. It will be a resolve that will take you right into eternity. Maybe you'll not die 10 years from now. Maybe you'll not die 20 years from now. Maybe you'll live another 30 years from now. And yet this could be the time where the Lord lets you go your own way. Lets you go and do what you want to do. Have it your way, the Lord will say. This could be the night where you're put on that path and destined for hell forever. What a danger that is to be in. Do ignore then the exhortations of the gospel. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Say to Him, Lord, change my heart. Give me a heart of flesh. Bring me to Christ. That I may put my faith and trust in Him. What will be the case with you this evening? Will you trust the Lord? Will you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? One more thing I want you to see in this text, or when we're considering this theme, is with regard to the danger of a hardened heart, that is because of the end that it brings. The ultimate danger, the end danger, and we've touched on this already, the ultimate danger and the end of a hardened heart is to be lost forever. This was the end of Pharaoh. Psalm 136 speaks there of the end of Pharaoh when he took on the Lord, it says, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, And you see what happens here. The Lord overthrew Pharaoh and the Red Sea. Pharaoh lost his soul forever. Pharaoh went to hell. Pharaoh has one last resolve in his heart to go against the Lord one more time. Read of that in Exodus 14, verse 4 to 6. The Lord says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Pharaoh sees then that the Lord was having his way. The people were let go. They were on their way. And what did Pharaoh do? He determined in his heart, that hardened heart one more time, to go up against the Lord. He went and he pursued the people to the Red Sea. And by that time, we see the miracle where the Lord made a way for his people to pass through the sea. It was a path of mercy for them. And yet Pharaoh, against all sense, he goes and he enters into that place to pursue the people. And you see what sin does to people. You see what a hardened heart does. Pharaoh saw what the Lord did at the Red Sea. He saw the people passing by, an absolute miracle. And how in his life did he imagine that if he entered the Red Sea that day that the Lord was going to spare him? He was walking into his eternal ruin. He had lost all sense. And that's what the sin does. It makes you lose all sense. I'm telling you that there is a gospel. I'm telling you that without Jesus Christ you're lost forever. And yet against all sense, you're still rebelling against God. You're still taking this stance. You're still going your own way. And yet, you go that way through your own peril. The Lord said that day he would be honored when it came to Pharaoh. So many often speak about God's glory and honor, and they think of his love and his mercy, and that's a wonderful thing when you think of God's glory being revealed in that way, and he should be praised for such a thing. But the Lord is also honored and glorified in his wrath and his justice against sin. And what did the Lord say? He says, "I will be honored with Pharaoh. I will be glorified by how I act with that man." And he was glorified in that Pharaoh went to hell, as we've already said. He was honored that day. I ask you, how will the Lord be honored when it comes to you? Will it be through his grace and mercy in the gospel? Or will it be through his wrath and his justice upon your soul for all eternity? Now in the Lord Jesus Christ, we see all of these things evident. When the Lord went to the cross of Calvary, we see the love and mercy of God, because there he was dealing with the sins of his people. And yet when it comes to the cross work, we see that Jesus Christ went there to satisfy the justice of God, because he bore the sins of his people. And what a wonderful thing. We see justice, mercy, wrath, love and goodness all displayed at the cross of Calvary. We see the honor of God in such a wonderful way. Friend, as you come to Christ, oh, you will not experience that wrath and justice, because he has satisfied it there at Calvary's middle tree. You only know his love and goodness and his mercy. And God will be honored in such a way. His mercy was seen there with the children of Israel. They identify with Moses. I ask you then, how will he be honored with you today? Will you pass through safely, knowing his grace? Or will his wrath come crashing down on you all of a sudden? Would this even be the night where you take your final stand against the Lord and you open your eyes in the great eternity? Then it's too late. It's too late to be saved. when Pharaoh was in the sea, and as he saw the waters coming down upon him, it was too late. Too late for mercy. Too late for grace. His heart led him straight to eternal doom. I pray that tonight you would not harden your heart against the Lord. You would put your faith in Jesus Christ. Have your heart transformed. And know his grace. For his glory alone. Amen. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. We will seek the Lord around the throne of grace. And if you would like to get saved this evening, then you can get saved if you trust the Saviour. Lift your heart unto him, pray to him, that he would wash away all of your sin. And the Bible makes it very clear that that's exactly what he'll do. He has promised to do it for those that will come, for those that will repent of their sin. Trust him tonight, and I pray that you will know his salvation. Let us seek the Lord now. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee for the glories of the gospel revealed in Jesus Christ. I thank thee for his great love. I thank thee for his mercy. I thank thee, O God, for all that he has done on Calvary's middle tree. I pray tonight that there would be those listening in would not harden their hearts, but will come to the Saviour, would know his salvation. And Father, would set themselves in the path to glory. Lord, we look to thee now, do the work that I cannot do. Speak to hearts, transform by grace, and Lord, glorify thyself. And the salvation of precious souls. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.